You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to this episode of the Business of Practice podcast, where we focus on the business and human sides of equine veterinary medicine. In this episode, we're going to talk with Dr. Jeff Blaya about the dangers of medical records that don't measure up to state regulations. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Grice, business consultant and former equine practice owner. The Business of Practice podcast is brought to you in 2025 by Care Credit. Dr. Jeff Blaya was a racetrack practitioner and partner in Von Blucher Blaya Hunken Incorporated, a five veterinarian thoroughbred practice in Southern California. He served on the AAEP Board of Directors from 2003 to 2005, and as the 2014 AAEP President. His AAEP service also included many committee and task force assignments, as well as being an on-call spokesperson. In addition, he served on the Grayson Jockey Club Research Committee, the UC Davis Intramural Grant Research Committee, and on the boards of the Southern California Equine Foundation, the Racing Medication and Testing Consortium, the Equine Health and Safety Advisory Board, the Dolly Green Research Foundation, and California Retirement Management Account. Currently, Dr. Blaya is the Equine Medical Director of the California Horse Racing Board. Welcome, Dr. Blaya.
Thank you, Dr. Grice. Thank you for having me today.
Veterinary medical record regulations dictate how patient information must be documented, stored, and released. These regulations are state-specific, and they aim to ensure patient confidentiality, proper patient care, and legal compliance. Key aspects in most of the state's regulations include the content of the records, retention periods, confidentiality, and disclosure requirements. Back last year in Orlando, at last year's AAEP convention, you presented in a chilling session on medical records. So many equine veterinarians are probably unaware of the importance of knowing their state regulations on medical records. What are the risks of winging it?
Well, that's a great question, Dr. Grice. The risks of winging medical records are multi-pronged. You have to deal with complaints that have been filed with your veterinary state board. You also have to deal with lawsuits and malpractice lawsuits as well. In fact, according to the AVMA, the most common complaint filed by clients concerns alleged improper charges. And when a client gets a big bill or wants to refute a bill, or they believe the charges are improper, it's not uncommon for them to file a complaint with either your state board or to file a lawsuit or a malpractice lawsuit. Once they file a complaint with the state medical boards or state veterinary boards, inadequate record keeping is most often the leading cause of administrative violations. And what people don't realize is once a complaint is filed with the veterinary medical board, then that complaint can easily be filed anonymously, and you'll never know who filed that complaint. That complaint allows the state board investigators to look at your medical records. And those records are basically a doorway from which administrative agencies like state veterinary boards can find any number of multiple violations depending on your practice act. Things like improper VCPR, failure to document treatments, diagnosis, administrations, location, body weight, trainer-directed treatments, which is often common in equine practice. And what people don't realize, when a complaint is filed with a veterinary medical board, their investigations are not limited to the complaint that was filed by the individual. In other words, it's an open book into any and all of your records. So that encompasses a lot of information that can put the veterinarian at at risk, quite frankly. When you're looking at lawsuits and malpractice claims, the legal presumption of records is based on four things, which are facts, accuracy of records, completeness of records, and the exhibit, or what that record basically exhibits. So there's a legal presumption, and then there's an administrative presumption. And, you know, the last thing that most equine practitioners who are very, very busy, they want to think of at the end of the day is, you know, sitting down and doing your medical records at the end of the day, because they can be voluminous and exhausting and easy to make mistakes.
The Business of Practice podcast is brought to you by Care Credit. Care Credit keeps equine veterinarians at the heart of care by providing horse owners with simple, budget-friendly financing options. By helping to bridge the gap between costs and care, Care Credit supports healthy financial relationships between veterinarians and their clients. Clients have a flexible way to pay over time for all types of care, and practices get paid in 2 business days. It's a payment experience everyone can feel good about.
I mean, this was one of the things that just struck me back in the session, and just hearing about how once the board started an investigation, like, it's not just about the complaint. And that, I mean, the some of the things that were required in the records, like for equine practice, in many ways didn't make a lot of sense to me. What are some of the common requirements, and where do you think folks are falling short most commonly in equine practice in their records?
Well, the first thing you have to do is look at your practice act in the state upon in which you practice. You always, for those that are diligent about medical records, you think your medical records are good. But I can tell you, if you do a deep dive into your practice act in your state, I think you'll find some deficiencies in what your records display versus what you think they display. And for example, I'll use California, and most practice acts are small animal centric. So records requirements are small animal centric, brick and mortar hospital. And as we all know, equine practice is much more diverse. You have the general practitioner, you have the performance horse practitioner, the racetrack practitioner, as well as the brick and mortar hospital, referral hospitals. But for example, in California, your medical records for each patient that you see on a daily basis shall include the name of the individual responsible for making those entries, the name, address, and phone number of the client. And in equine practice, the clients are often absentee owners. So you have to make sure your practice act refers to the trainer or as the client, or they define who the client is, because that's very important. You have to include the name and or identity of the animal, and thoroughbreds, the microchip or tattoos. Except for herds, flocks, you have to include the age, sex, breed, species, and color of the animal, which nobody ever thinks of that, but it should all be in that patient record. The dates upon which you began taking care of that animal, history or pertinent information relative to that animal or that herd, any data obtained via instrumentation from the physical exam, lab work, including lab results, imaging, including imaging results, treatment, any treatments, intended treatment plans, including medications, dosages, routes of administrations, frequencies of use, area of administration, for example, intramuscular versus intravenous, left vein, right vein. Dosages need to be in milligrams or milliliters. Drug consultations need to be provided. In other words, if you dispense a medication, you have to provide a drug consultation. That has to be documented in the record. For example, if you dispense following an examination, a bottle of trimethoprim sulfa, you have to provide a drug consultation, including what the medication is, contraindications, warnings, dosages, and that has to be documented in the record. Same thing if you're using compounded medications, you have to provide in the record if you dispensed or administered that you used a compounded medication that was conveyed to the client. They understood the risks associated with compounded medications. Any surgeries, any anesthesias, any anesthetic records, diagnosis and assessment of the patient prior to any treatment or procedure must be documented every time you administer or dispense a medication. It must be based on an examination with your findings and a documentation of that patient. That all needs to be in the record. The animal's prognosis, the treatment plan, and any daily progress that you have observed from that animal. And in performance horse practice or racetrack practice, you see your patients almost on a daily, if not multiple times a day. So you can see, based on those requirements, the insurmountable tasks that you're being, that's required by your State Practice Act. And you have to find ways to be able to manage that from a time management standpoint.
So when you're dispensing medication and you need to do that consultation, can you simply write client received consultation on this medication, or do you actually have to have a standard kind of thing that you cut and paste in there?
So if you go to pick up a prescription at your local pharmacy.
Yeah, it's a big page. Do you have to do that?
You get a big, a whole section of paperwork. That's about 2 feet long. That's the drug.
Yeah, fills the recycling bin.
Yes. So to try to mitigate that or to be compliant, when you dispense a medication, you can create templates. Medication, the medication, the dosage, the prescription, and you can fill out the horse, the identification, the client, indications, warnings, contraindications, reactions, what to do. You can have that template available, hand it to the client, they can initial it. That can go in the medical record. Or you can also provide that consultation, that drug consultation, verbally, but you have to indicate in the medical record drug consultation for prescription X for horse Y, based on a diagnosis and examination, was provided verbally, client acknowledged, receipt verbally.
So that's a little easier. I was also thinking it would be wise for them to allow somebody to just pass off a QR code for them.
QR code work. And that's where assistants or technicians can be in.
Yeah.
They can manage that for you.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to make sure you include that in the record, that drug consultation was executed.
Right. It just, all of thinking about all of this makes me tired, and practitioners are so busy. What are the ways, the recommendations that you have for completing complete medical records without it being unbearable? It just seems like such a burden. You mentioned templates, so I mean, that's probably...
The three things that I find are that I would recommend are technology, templates, and technicians. As a practitioner, if you can learn to incorporate those three things into your practice, whether it's a general equine practice, performance horse practice, surgery referral practice, hospital, racetrack practice, templates, technology, and technicians. If you can incorporate those three things that can help facilitate the burden of providing
getting it done.
Getting it done. And, you know, it's simple. It's the little things that get you in trouble. You know, you examined a horse for lameness. You didn't record his temperature. You didn't record his body weight that day. You treated the horse with antibiotics. You didn't indicate, you know, the dosage of penicillin or where you injected that medication. So little things like that, technicians can help with. Drug consultations, technicians can do that. Objective data, technicians can enter that into the records. Templates are very, very helpful, but you want to make sure you're not duplicating the same template. In other words, you go into a barn and you vaccinate 20 horses that day. All 20 horses have the same temperature, pulse, and respiration. That is disingenuous and not permitted. Yeah. But if you have a template, an exam template, similar to what you see when your small animal dog goes into the small animal clinic, you know, age, breed, sex, you know, just check boxes, weight, you can fill out. That can be entered into the medical record. And technology, and it's evolving as we're talking at the moment, but there are numerous apps that you can, that are out there that allow you to either dictate or enter on the app information that can automatically go into your medical record. So that's a tremendous time-saving option that more and more equine practitioners are getting comfortable with. And from my understanding, the developers of the apps are listening to equine practitioners and to identify what their needs are. And there's some that really, really like them, some that they're going through some growing pains, but in order to be compliant and have medical records that will defend you, that's where we're going.
You know, I was speaking to Stacy Cordovano, who has been working with one of those, AI scribes, and she talked about how had never realized how she would be quiet while she was examining, and the owners kind of looking on, you know. And once she got the AI scribe, she started describing what she was finding on her examination, and the clients loved it. Like, they were so used to being quiet because she couldn't hear when she was sculpting, you know. And they loved hearing what she was finding. And of course, it was a change in her habits, because it can't make a medical record unless you're talking to it. And then the other thing that was a real game changer was when the company gave her a microphone to pin to her lapel, because, you know, it's what do you do with your phone, right? If it's in your pocket, it can't hear you. And she said that was amazing. Yeah. So that her phone could stay in her pocket. So it's just getting better and better, I think. And as you say, I love the three T's.
there's some added benefits to some of this AI technology and the apps. Is one, it improves your record keeping. But two, you know, if you go to your doctor and years ago, you know, they're in front of the laptop the whole time. They never look up at you or talk to you.
Right.
They're entering everything. Now they're talking to their AI.
Yeah.
You're listening to it. So you're engaged in that conversation. I think owners like that. Trainers.
Yeah, I think so too.
And the second thing it provides is when you're done with that, you actually have a record that you can hand or email to that client right there. And
right.
They love that, because they can then maintain their records even better for their animals. So there's a lot of advantages, and I think it'll only get better.
I do too. I think it's a really good development of a technology for sure. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today to help them with the medical records or anything else?
Yeah. Again, the three T's are critical. Know your state practice act. One thing people don't realize is the veterinary medical boards are there to protect the public. Your VMAs are there to protect the veterinarian and help the veterinarian. So when you're dealing with an administrative agency like the Veterinary Medical Board, they're looking out for the public. So you want to have your records legible, accurate, complete, timely. Most records states require contemporaneous record keeping within 24 hours. So that's all important, but never change a record. You can appendix a record, you can amend a record, but make sure it's all very well documented. But the two most important things are document, because when you're being investigated for a veterinary medical board complaint or in a malpractice lawsuit, if it's not documented, it didn't happen. If you have text message exchange, communications, emails, phone calls with a client, document all that into the record to protect yourself, because that evidence will come up in a hearing. And if you can defend that via documentation, that'll help you. So any communications, never promise an outcome. Consent is critically important for procedures. There are templates you can create for consent, whether it's castration, surgeries, any sort of, but those templates are important. Templates for pre-purchase exams, templates for endoscopy procedures. The three T's are critically important. So document, know your state practice act, and remember the three T's: technology, templates, and technicians.
That is really, really helpful. While you were giving that advice, I had a question, and that is, if your veterinary medical board contacts you and you need to go see them or do things, should you have an attorney help you, or do you just hope for the best?
That's a great question. The AVMA provides licensed defense insurance, which is actually very, very affordable for insurance. Mm-hmm. And it's, I forget, up to $100,000. And it's, I think, less than $100 a year, but don't quote me on that. But if you get contacted by the State Veterinary Board for a medical records request, I would recommend you contact the AVMA PLIT and let them know.
Yeah.
I would also recommend that you cooperate and comply with the state agency's request, and they'll they'll indicate exactly what they want you to provide. And again, don't change your records at that point. At that point, they are what they are. So, yeah. But yeah, I would contact the PLIT as soon as you get a request from the state medical board.
Thank you. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I wouldn't want to do it alone. You know, it's all a little scary. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Blaya. And thank you all listeners for joining us for the Business of Practice podcast. And a big thanks to our sponsor, Care Credit. And to all my listeners out there, be brave, embrace change, and take a good look at your medical records.